Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us today. If you've just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, that makes you a highly intelligent person. And I know it's like a dream come true for you to be part of our day, because you tell me that all the time. And especially when Richard DeKayser joins us. As you know, Richard is chief economist and senior vice president with National City Bank. He's one of the guys that we go to when we want to find out about how the economy is going, or when we want to find out what the Fed is up to. And these are momentous times, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to the Federal Reserve Board, because they have a new leader, Mr. Ben Bernanke, and Dr. DeKayser knows about this guy, Bernanke, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about him. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. These are momentous times for the Fed, aren't they?
Well, they sure are. The new Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, has been in office not quite 2 months. He has not as yet had a full meeting until yesterday with his Open Market Committee, which is the interest rate policy setting committee, nor with all of his the Fed district bank presidents. So we're having that first get. He's been on the board in the past as a member, not as a chairman. But
so they know him. They know what he sounds like. They know the cut of his jib, so to speak. So it's not like he's a wholly unknown commodity to most of these folks.
No. These folks are not strangers to one another. But as the chairman, you are a different animal altogether, because you set the tone, you set the agenda. And he has a personal agenda. It includes things like inflation targeting and increased transparency, which we could talk about. But mm-hmm. The point is, he needs to feel out his committee in terms of determining their receptiveness to these kinds of ideas. And I think that we're going to see a lot of new information in the weeks and months ahead, because after having had this meeting, there will be a far greater sense in his mind of what's realistic, what's not, and hence communication will follow accordingly.
Now, in the past, and I say in the past, I mean way back, even prior to Greenspan, and maybe even prior to prior to Volcker, it seems to me that what the Fed did was almost like when the Cardinals chose a new pope. You know, you waited till they put the white smoke through the chimney to find out whether they had, you know, actually had decided something, and you know, it was nobody really knew what was going on. Mr. Greenspan increased the level of transparency, and he actually under his watch, markets and individuals could sort of see a little bit of telegraphing of what the Fed was likely to do, didn't they?
Well, that's absolutely correct. And just for the listener's benefit, when we talk about transparency, we're talking about signaling Fed intentions. So when the Fed, for example, last year used the phrase considerable period in talking about monetary policy and interest rates staying low, that was an effort to be more transparent, to communicate to financial markets where they're likely to be headed. And they did so many things. They began to release the vote, who voted for and against particular actions. And all of these were huge, huge benefits to financial markets, because as you reduce uncertainty, you reduce volatility, and that gives us lower interest rates. And you could even argue that one of the reasons we have this unusually low long-term interest rate environment is because of this increased transparency. However, Alan Greenspan was not the forceful advocate of increasing transparency during his tenure. Others were mostly carrying that water. He was certainly receptive to the idea, but a little bit reluctant at
times.
But
he wasn't the author of it.
He was not. Now, in Ben Bernanke, we have a different animal. This is a fellow who is a forceful advocate of increasing transparency rather than a sort of ambivalent or reluctant player. So that should, in fact, extend these kinds of changes we've seen going forward.
Well, in terms of planning, in terms of economic planning and financial planning for companies,
right?
Transparency by the Fed seems to be a good thing to me.
Oh, absolutely.
But are there any drawbacks to transparency?
I don't think so, but let me play devil's advocate and give you what detractors of increased transparency might say. Well, if the Federal Reserve supposedly has certain objectives, which in fact they do, but they don't tell us what they are, but if they tell us what they are, like they're going to target a particular measure of inflation between, say, 1.5% and 2.5%, then they, by going public with this information, they lose a degree of flexibility. So as events may unfold, their ability to act with discretion is thereby reduced.
So if they've played their hand and you and I are counting on it, they feel less like they've got less options to go back on that.
Exactly.
But that's their problem. That's not mine or your problem.
Exactly.
22. We're going to be right back after these messages with our good friend Richard DeKayser. Stay with us.
Much to me.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you can, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. Both of those will send you stuff on Sunday by the newsletter, by email, and the blog comes by Real Simple Syndication, which you can find out more about if you don't have that technology. We'll help you to get it for free right there from our website, so check that out when you get a chance. Richard DeKayser is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank out of Cleveland, Ohio, and their banks are, 1,600 branches across the Midwest?
1,200 banks, about 2,000 ATMs, and we are all over the industrial Midwest, going from Pennsylvania in the east, Michigan and Illinois, up north, down to Kentucky and Missouri in the south, and Indiana in the west. So you get the idea. Great Lakes into the farmland a little bit, but the Midwest. We're a big Midwestern bank.
Financial Market Outlook, that's your publication. Where can we find that?
Very simple, nationalcity.com/economics. You'll find that monthly and many other things. And what most folks might be interested in is something we've been doing over the past 2 years, housing valuation analysis. That is, are there bubbles? If so, where are they? How risky is it? And there's been a lot of interest in that.
Speaking of bubbles, you know, one of the things that the Fed, especially Mr. Greenspan, had warned about was a housing bubble. And I was one of the guys who took issue with them about that. I said that I thought that they were overblowing the issue, that I did believe that there were areas, there were markets, there were a handful or more markets, that sectors of those markets were going to have problems because of people trying to flip their condos and that sort of thing. But I said that I felt that a national housing bubble was way overblown.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And it's been changing. You know, it depends on when you're talking about. But today, I think the housing market is frothier than it's been in decades. Right. But it's still not a majority of the housing units or even the housing market by dollar value. So there are, and people know, common wisdom is pretty accurate on this. People know where the hot spots are, Florida, mm-hmm. California, other parts along the northeast coast, and absolutely Washington, D.C., but still the majority of the country is exempt from any major risks.
What's a Bernanke-led Fed going to do in the future that's different from the last year under Mr. Greenspan?
Well, we talked about transparency, and I think he's going to continue to push those kinds of reforms, maybe identifying an inflation target, maybe releasing the forecasts that they have. They do prepare. The Federal Reserve does have forecasts that they review every 6 to 8 weeks.
And will they be releasing them earlier than they do?
Well, they don't release them at all. At this point,
okay, so that's not part of the beige book.
No, it is not. But again, advocates of transparency such as Ben Bernanke believe that that information, at least in summary form, should be made public. And
How will the markets benefit from that?
Well, let me give you an example. Suppose the Federal Reserve thinks that growth in the next year is going to be 3.5%. And as time unfolds, we see growth being below that. Well, all other things being equal, that might imply that the Federal Reserve, its conduct of monetary policy, will be a little easy. That is to say, it might either raise interest rates less or cut interest rates because it's not seeing things unfold as they had previously expected. Mm-hmm. So again, it's sort of tipping their hand to the public, and again, the idea is financial markets with more information, less uncertainty, behave better in terms of interest rates being lower, stock values being more stable, and all that sort of thing.
Well, is Mr. Bernanke going to be more or less of an inflation hawk than Mr. Greenspan?
That's the big unknown question. He has an undeserved reputation as being kind of dovish, and the reason is because back in 2003, when he was still on the Federal Reserve Board, as a governor but not as chairman, he was a forceful advocate for cutting interest rates aggressively when the risk of deflation was considered to be serious.
Right. They got it all the way down to 1% on the Fed funds rate.
Absolutely, and he was a big advocate leading the pack in that direction. However, I really do think that that was circumstantial. We did have a particular set of circumstances that, in his mind, rationalized that kind of behavior. So I don't think he has a congenital predilection towards lower interest rates. The question is, will he follow the Greenspan MO, which is, we've gotten familiar with over the past 18 years, which the chairman Greenspan himself called risk management, and that is to say, disproportionately focusing monetary policy actions on confronting whatever the perceived risk of the moment is.
So rather than just inflation.
Exactly. Now, you yourself, Jim, have argued that the Fed needs to be more stable and less of a roller coaster raising.
That's exactly right.
And I believe that Ben Bernanke is more likely to follow that kind of a stable policy course, but we don't know that for sure as yet. We haven't seen him in his chairman's role, and we'll know for sure in short order. But my guess is that he's going to be less inclined towards big swings in interest rates.
If you plotted the course of interest rates over the last 8 years, let's say, it would look more like a roller coaster than a plan.
Yeah.
And I don't think that takes, disrespectful, but I don't think it takes a whole lot of analysis to just go straight up and straight down. That really, to me, that doesn't give me a lot of credibility. And I'm going to be watching that in terms of my observation of a Bernanke Fed. That's one of the things I'm going to be watching for. Hold on to that thought, Richard. We're going to take a quick break. Richard DeKayser is our guest. He's chief economist for the National City Bank, and their website is nationalcity.com. /economist. Is that right? Economist?
Economics.
And you can get to Richard's portion of that website. 10 till. Here's Celine Dion to take us out. Welcome back. It's 7 till. Little Robert Cray for you. Richard DeKayser is a blues man like me, right, Richard?
That's right. And by the way, thank you for the Robert Craig CD.
Oh, yeah. Did you enjoy that?
Very much.
Isn't that a great one? Yeah, I enjoyed the one you sent me as well. Richard and I swap. We send each other our favorite blues men. Richard is the senior vice president and chief economist at the National City Bank. Does a great job there. And I encourage you to check out their website and their banks, too. And that's at nationalcity.com. Economics/economics, if you want to get directly to Richard's section. Richard, what's going to happen? What I want you to do first is I want you to tell us what you think the Fed's going to do today, and then I want you to give us a little bit of a tour of the economy. The Fed funds rate is at what, 5.25? I mean 4.25.
We're at 4.5 now.
4.5.
We're going to see a quarter point bump today, in almost all certainty, but bringing us to 4.75. And the
which makes prime 7.75,
exactly.
Which makes the money that small business owners are able to borrow from banks
more expensive,
bumping 10. Because we don't live in the world of prime, Richard. We live in the world of prime plus.
Yep. Depending upon the business and the terms and all that sort of thing, yes, we're talking pretty much a floor of 7.75% starting close of business today.
Yeah.
Now, the question is where we're going from here. I personally feel the Fed should stop. That is to say, I think that we're going to see the economy...
After today?
Yeah, I think we're going to see the economy pretty much traveling in this desired range. Not too hot, not too cold. Inflation may be a little bit concerning, but no real breakouts to the upside. And that's my view. Now, whether the Fed sees things the same way is not clear. The consensus view in the financial markets is that they're going to follow that up with another quarter point rate hike in May, bringing the Fed funds to 5% and prime to 8%.
Yeah. And by the way, in my 2006 predictions at the end of December 2005, that's the range that I predicted that the Fed would max out at for the whole year.
Okay. So none of us are too far apart on that.
Unless they keep going, I think 5 is going to be a shock to the system, and anything beyond that I think would be very dangerous.
I agree. I think it would be uncalled for and inappropriate, but. Again, back in the Greenspan day, if the Fed was trying to unambiguously put all of its ammunition, spending it on inflation fighting, then you might risk that kind of excessive slowing in the economy to achieve the inflation objective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Bernanke's that kind of a guy, but we don't know. Now, we'll find out in short order. That is to say, at 2:15 this afternoon, the Fed is going to put out an announcement, and folks like me will be combing through the verbiage they use to see what kind of hints they're giving.
Now, if they don't raise rates today, will you be shocked?
Yes.
Okay.
I will be shocked if they don't raise rates today, and the reason is because, you know, we were talking about transparency earlier. They have given every signal thus far that that is what they will do, and for them to suddenly not reverse course but not follow through on what isn't quite a commitment but is nonetheless implied would be shocking.
Let me ask you another question. I'm going to head in a little bit of a different direction. I have felt in the 90s and the very early 80s that we had a 20th century Fed looking at 21st century indicators, and they didn't have the models that believed, let alone understood, the 21st century, all the new 21st century indicators. I believe that. I'm not asking you if you think I'm right or not. That's what I believe. My question to you is do you think we have a 21st century Fed capable of looking at 21st century indicators, understanding them, and applying them properly?
Absolutely. You know, the Federal Reserve, economics is like every science. It evolves, and it is always evolving as new information comes to light. Now, the fact that new information comes to light means that you're always catching up. But the folks at the Federal Reserve, I believe, really do understand that, and they know where to sort of soft pedal on the facts and the models and the findings, and where to lean a little bit more firmly.
When hiring continues to increase and wages go up, are they going to believe that this is bad, or are they going to believe the productivity numbers?
Well, both. One of the big issues here, there's nothing wrong with wages going up. We want wages to go up. That's good for the economy.
Right.
The problem is if they start rising faster than productivity rises, that means unit labor costs are climbing, and that is the Fed's number one inflation worry. So rising wages in and of themselves are not a concern. If they rise out of sync with productivity gains, that would be a concern.
But that's 21st century thinking. They haven't done that in the past. And we'll see how it goes, and we'll talk to you next time. Richard, thank you for being here today. Good job as always.
A pleasure, Jim. Thank you very much.
Richard DeKayser, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.